always locked on heat. Biscayne, South Beach, Goldberg and Ramil. Talking heat, body chill. Got the stats in the news. Got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on heat. Got it locked on heat. Always locked on heat. Keep it locked on heat. Seat geek for the cheap. What's the day got the heat?
And now, your locked on heat hopes. Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a writer at the Step Back and Miami Heat Tip Off magazine. My usual co-host, Dave Ramil, is not with me today. He is busy in Orlando covering the Magic and Thunder game. So I'm writing solo today, and I'm recapping the Heat's 115-86 loss to the New York Knicks. I'm also going to get to your Twitter questions later. I'm going to rank the top eight teams currently in the Eastern Conference, but we got to start with that recap. Look, the Heat losing on the second night of a back-to-back. They lost to the Cavs two nights ago. They lose to the Knicks last night. Get blown out in both games by a combined 40 points. The difference between the Knicks game and the Cavaliers game, of course, is that the Cavaliers are good and the Knicks are kind of bad. And against the Cavaliers, the Heat had Hassan Whiteside, and against the Knicks, they did not have Hassan Whiteside, who was out with a knee bruise. So he took the game off. He wasn't going to play in the second night of back-to-backs, part of his rehab. And I kept hearing, and the game was never close. The game, the Heat were never in it. They were down by 30 points at some in different points in the, of the second half. It was a horrendous game. They weren't good. The Knicks shot 60% in the game. Miami shot 39%. It was a blowout from the tip to the end. And I kept hearing, well, you know, the Heat, they really miss Hassan Whiteside. They really could use Hassan Whiteside, and I get it. You know, Enes Kanter went off for the Knicks. He had 22 points on 7-9 field goals, 14 rebounds. He just dominated inside, particularly early in the game. Really set the tone for New York. A Knicks team that lost Kristaps Porzingis 3 minutes into the game, but he was 2-for-2. He for 4 points. The Heat had no answer for New York's size. No answer for those guys. Even Kyle O'Quinn came in. He went 4-for-4 for 9 points. Their backup center. Willie Hernan Gomez, another backup big man for them, went 4-for-5 for 8 points. They had no answer for New York's size, and I just kept hearing how much that the Heat were missing Hassan Whiteside. And it is more than that. Okay? It is more than that. Think back to that Big Three era Heat team, the ones that had Chris Bosh, LeBron, Dwayne Wade. And really after, you know, even when they weren't starting Chris Bosh at center, they had Joel Anthony in there, who was an undersized center. And then they eventually moved Bosh to center. And they got killed on the boards game after game, consistently among the worst rebounding teams in the league. Consistently. And consistently had a hard time defending big seven-footers. You think about Roy Hibbert in those playoff series against the Indiana Pacers. And Roy Hibbert just going to town against Chris Bosh and just getting anything he wanted in the paint and in the restricted area. And how much of a problem Roy Hibbert was for the Big Three Heat teams. But the difference between those Heat teams and obviously these Heat teams, those Heat teams had LeBron. Those Heat teams had Dwayne Wade. Those Heat teams had Chris Bosh, who could do stuff on offense. This Heat team doesn't have that. So they don't need Hassan Whiteside. Did they miss Hassan Whiteside tonight? Yes. But they don't need Hassan Whiteside. So let's not let a game like this without Whiteside trick us into the idea that Whiteside is somehow going to fix these problems that the Heat have when he's not in there. I mean, Kevin Love, who is a starting center for the Cavaliers, had 22 points in the first quarter in the first 9 minutes for Cleveland. Hassan Whiteside played in that game. Couldn't stop him. Granted, a lot of Love's points came from the perimeter, long-range twos, but he couldn't stop him inside either. Let's not act like Hassan Whiteside was going to fix this problem. Let's not act like Whiteside was going to keep the Knicks from shooting 60% or somehow fix Miami's offense that shot less than 40%. Whiteside wasn't going to fix all those problems. And the difference is that those big three Heat teams that got beaten on the boards consistently at least were able to be among the best at everything else, right? They were among the best teams getting to the rim on offense between LeBron and Wade. Bosch was able to stretch the floor for that team. Tonight, Kelly Olynyk got a lot of minutes. Bam Adebayo got a lot of minutes. Guys who can stretch the floor. Bam played 31 minutes. Olynyk played 25 minutes, more than their averages this season because Whiteside wasn't in. They stretched the floor. But Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters could not capitalize on the extra space. They were both a combined 6 of 22 from the field for 16 points. That's bad. 6 of 22 between your starting backcourt is bad. Bad. And that's the difference. Look, I love Goran Dragic. I love Goran Dragic. He is Miami's best player, but he wasn't tonight. And that's the difference between a guy like Goran Dragic and somebody even like end of the big three era Dwayne Wade. I'm not even going to compare him to LeBron because that's just obviously not fair. But even an end of the big three era Dwayne Wade, clearly past his prime, but still effective. That Dwayne Wade could at least capitalize on that. He was still an all-star. There weren't many nights, if any nights, that he was scoring, that he was going 3 of 12 from the field for 6 points. I mean, Eric Spoelstra didn't even play Dragic at the end of that game. He was ineffective. Deion Waiters didn't play at the end of that game. He was ineffective. That's the difference. That's the difference. Whiteside wasn't going to help that. Dragic and Waiters aren't helping that. And we come back to this time and time again, but the Heat are obviously just missing that piece. Now, that's obvious. How do you fix it? Well, that's a whole other thing, and we'll get to that in our Twitter questions. But first, Locked On Heat still has inventory for sponsorships this season. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. Say you own a sports bar or a sports memorabilia store, or maybe you're a real estate agent or a contractor, and you're unhappy with traditional advertising online or in print. Know that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with advertisers. Locked On Heat listeners are generally male, about 96%, and between the ages of 18 and 45. Our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so it's an efficient use of your time and money. For more information on rates and the next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company right here on the show. Later on in the show, I'm going to rank the top 8 teams in the East, but let's start with your Twitter questions. Jeff on Twitter, using the hashtag AskLOHeat, asks, who on this team has real trade value right now? Now, that's an interesting question. In a couple of weeks here, the contracts that the Heat signed over the summer, the free agents that they signed over the summer, James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Deion Waiters, those contracts are going to be eligible to be traded on December 15th. So in a couple of weeks, they will be eligible for trade. That opens up a lot of things that the Heat can do. So who on this team has trade value? A lot of players on this team have trade value. Look, I think a lot of people are overstating how bad the Heat are. They're 10-11 right now. They lost to a Cavs team. That's a loss you expect, and they lose to a Knicks team on the second game of back-to-back. Now, the losses themselves were bad. A combined 40 points they lost by against those two teams. Those are bad losses, but the losses were also expected. You expect to lose on the second game of back-to-back. You expect to lose against LeBron James. You just expect it. Granted, the team doesn't look good. Granted, the team probably needs to make a trade. And that's true. But I don't want to say that the team isn't so bad that nobody on the team has value. You know? Like, Hassan Whiteside has value. I don't know, and it's tough to measure what sort of value he has. I don't know what the, and for a center, for a seven-footer like him who is limited in what he can do, it's not so much the value of him as much as the demand. What is the demand for somebody like Hassan Whiteside? What teams are actually looking for a traditional center? That's the question. Does Dallas need a traditional center? Does Milwaukee need a traditional center? Cleveland, possibly, to maybe shore up that defense? I could, maybe those are teams, but it's for Whiteside, that's more what it is. Other guys on this roster, look, Goran Dragic has a ton of value. Denver Nuggets would love Goran Dragic. The Utah Jazz, who are stuck with Ricky Rubio right now, who is just not working in that system, would love Goran Dragic. There are several teams that would love Goran Dragic. Several. He has value. I'd say Deion Waiters has value. Probably not as a starter, but as a sixth man on a competitive team. Couldn't you picture him in Washington with Scott Brooks backing up Bradley Beal and John Wall? Deion Waiters has value. I think Wayne Ellington. Look, Kyle Korver fetched a late first-round pick. The Hawks traded him to Cleveland for a late first-round pick last season. Wayne Ellington can get you that. If there is a team that is looking for a bona fide three-point shooter, Wayne Ellington, the Cavaliers probably overpaid that for Kyle Korver. But if you're a team that just needs that type of spacing, that type of player, you are willing to pay what would eventually amount to a late first-rounder. Oftentimes, those players don't really turn into anything anyway. For a guy who can help you right now and possibly get you over the hump, I think Wayne Ellington has value. I think Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson have value. Both of them are premier defenders, really, really good wing perimeter defenders. You're probably not trading them one-on-one for anything substantial. Like, you're not trading Justice Winslow for a great first-round pick. You're not trading Justice Winslow for a star player, but combined with maybe a larger contract to sweeten a deal in order to maybe get a James Johnson contract off your hands, or maybe even a Kelly Olynyk contract off your hands, or a Deion Waiters contract off your hands, a Tyler Johnson contract off your hands. If you're trying to get those deals off, the Heat don't have draft picks to sweeten those deals and to entice, you know, other teams to take those guys and to take those contracts. But they do have young players like Winslow and Josh Richardson who they could attach in those deals to offload that money. Now, I wouldn't do that. I still think the big contracts on this team, Olynyk, James Johnson, Tyler Johnson even, they have value to this team. And they're not bad players on huge contracts. I mean, we're not talking about Ion Mahinmi here. We're not talking about Bismack Biyombo here. We're not talking about those kind of deals. We're not talking about Luol Deng, Timofey Mozgov. These guys can help teams. So I wouldn't add a Justice Winslow or a Josh Richardson to that kind of trade because all of those pieces still have value to the Heat, and I wouldn't just get rid of the money for the sake of getting rid of the money. Especially because you're going into next season with the raises already on the books, Miami is going to be over the salary cap. Even if they were to trade the $19 million that Tyler Johnson is on the books for next season, that doesn't open up $19 million of cap space. Because they're already slated to be over the cap, that only opens up $6 million of cap space. That's not worth it. That's not worth getting rid of a promising young player like Winslow or Josh Richardson, who's starting for this team right now. But all of those guys have value. Let's not twist it around and think that this team is just made of scrubs. This team is not built of scrubs. This team just has obvious holes. And look, this road trip started out promising. They won the first two games of the road trip, beating Minnesota, beating Chicago. But they dropped the last two games. Again, games that you expect to lose. You don't expect them to lose as bad as they did, but if you lose by 2 points or 10 points, it doesn't matter. It still just counts as one loss. I still think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to be okay. after the that's the Cavaliers, that's a game you lose. And the Knicks are embarrassing. And yes, Kristaps Porzingis only played 3 minutes before he left with an ankle injury. But they're not... I mean, they're a 500 team. They're as good as the Heat. They're as good as the Heat. And this was on the road in the second night of a back-to-back. That is a tough game to win. That is a hard game to win. I'm not going to overreact. And I'm not going to say start trading everybody. Everybody on Twitter, everybody in my comments, everybody's emailing. Let's trade all these guys. Ease it. Look, this is going to be a tough schedule. They've got Charlotte. They've got Golden State coming up. Tough schedule coming up. Probably not going to get better soon, but it'll get better. It's a long season. It'll get better. It's not time to just trade this team. Now, I think there's players that could be and probably should be traded. But it's not time to blow it up. Because I don't know, if you blow it up, I don't know what you're getting. Because you're not getting the Brooklyn pick. You're not getting a top five pick. There's nobody on this team that you could trade for anything that's not going to be a... Even if you trade for a first round pick, all of these picks are going to be top five protected. Lottery somewhat protected. It's a dark view, but it's true. You're not blowing this team up and drafting Joel Embiid next year. It's not happening. So, and they're not so bad that they're going to be able to be one of the worst teams in the league and keep their pick, which is still owed to Phoenix. They're not going to be that bad. There are some really bad teams in the NBA. No matter what, the Heat are not going to be that bad. They're not. They're just not. All right, I'm going to rank the best teams in the Eastern Conference. But first, a quick reminder to make sure that you are subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a review on iTunes to help other Heat fans discover the show. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team, plus Locked On Fantasy Basketball for you fantasy sports fans. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. All right, top eight teams in the East. We did this last week. I did it with David. We ranked our top eight teams. We're going to try to do this once a week going forward, hopefully on Thursdays. Last week, I'll read you what I had before I give you what I have for this week. Last week, I had Boston at number one, Toronto at number two, Cleveland at number three, Washington at number four, Detroit was five, Philly at six, Charlotte at seven, and the Indiana Pacers were eighth. David had Boston, Cleveland, Detroit, Toronto, Washington, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Charlotte. So his were a little bit different than mine. Let's get into this week's rankings. Doesn't change much at the top. Number one, still the Boston Celtics, still the best team in the Eastern Conference. Their point differential remains impressive. They are beating teams by 7 points a game. Believe it or not, that's second best in the Eastern Conference. The Toronto Raptors have the best point differential at plus 7.3. But the Celtics, look, they've won. They were on that 16-game win streak. They've won eight of their last 10 games. I mean, they're a good team. They're just a good team. Like, let's get. There's nothing else to say about it. You know that the Celtics are a good team. Great defensively. Potent offensively. And they're just going to get better because so much of that team is so young. Number two, I've got the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they move up one spot from last week. They're on a roll, man. They've won nine straight games now. It seems like the offense is starting to figure itself out. Ty Lue has really settled into our rotation there. Kevin Love is getting a lot more comfortable at center, as we saw when he torched the Heat. So Cleveland, they've moved up to number two. Because they have LeBron, they can always move up to number one at any point. I still don't know who I would take in a series between Cleveland and Boston. I'm leaning towards Boston because their defense is so much more dominant and their offense is good enough. Where Cleveland's offense, yes, is dominant, but their defense is still atrocious. But we'll see. I think the Cavaliers still have a lot of moves to make. Derrick Rose and that whole situation, if he's just done playing basketball, and that starts to open up things for Cleveland a little bit in that backcourt, when Tristan Thompson is healthy and when they get Isaiah Thomas back, they still have the Brooklyn pick that they can use. I wonder if they attach that with Tristan Thompson, make a move. There's still a move that they could make, and that's why the Cavaliers are interesting, and that's why they're at the second spot in the East. Number three, I've got the Toronto Raptors. I mentioned them before. Look, they dropped one spot, but only because Cleveland has been playing so well. Not a reflection on how Toronto is playing, because they're 7-3 in their last 10. They look great. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry are still fantastic together, and they've got a nice young group of players coming off the bench. I like that Raptors squad. I still wouldn't trust them with any of my money or my life in the playoffs, but right now in the Eastern Conference, they're a good team. I've got Detroit at number four. They continue to impress. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. Andre Drummond is just, he's breaking out in the way people wanted him to break out last season. And I think that a lot of people, they were expecting the breakout just a year early. They wanted that breakout a year early. He's breaking out now. He's fixed his free throw form, seemingly. The Pistons, credit to them, they are using him differently. They're using him in a more modern way, a lot more high pick and rolls, a lot more using him in screens to open up things for other guys. He's passing the ball at a rate that just blows away anything else he's done in his career. He's really come along. He's become a nice player for them. Reggie Jackson has started to control things a little bit more. And they're getting contributions from a lot of their other guys, like Tobias Harris and things like that. I've got Philadelphia at five. I continue to be impressed by the 76ers squad. I mean, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, we talked about this earlier. The Heat are missing guys like that. Goran Dragic can still go 3 of 12 for 6 points. You don't see a whole lot of that from Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Those guys are stars. Those guys are star players now. They are right now star players. And I understand the injury concerns with Embiid and even Ben Simmons. But when they are on the floor, they can be the two best players on the court at any given time, at any given moment, in any given game. Those guys are stars. And just the two of them put the 76ers in the playoff picture. And I love Robert Covington, what he brings to the table. Adding J.J. Redick to that squad is a nice wrinkle. They've got, and that Dario Saric is having a nice season for them. That team's got players. Philadelphia, I've got at five, and I think they can keep moving up. Washington, I have at six. Bradley Beal, John Wall. You can't beat that combination. There's a lot of questions about the rest of that team. How does Markieff Morris fit in? What's going on with Kelly Oubre, who's kind of on and off, up and down? Washington could be as high as two, in my opinion, but they're just so inconsistent. I've got them at six. Milwaukee, who I think I had it, I had at eight last year, last week, or barely had them making it. They're starting to get it together. Eric Bledsoe and Giannis are starting to gel a little bit more. They're starting to figure it out. I was at the Kings game the other night. They absolutely torched the Kings. It was Giannis and it was Bledsoe, and then it was everybody else. I mean, they just dominated the game from start to finish. I really like what they're doing. I think the best basketball is ahead of them. And then at eight, I have the Indiana Pacers. I don't feel good about the Pacers there, but honestly, I don't really have anybody else to put there. Indiana, they're having a nice stretch here. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Victor Oladipo's nice. Domantas Sabonis is nice for them. They kind of suffer from the same thing the Heat do, where they don't really have a star player, even though Oladipo's really pushing himself into maybe all-star consideration. We'll see. And I don't trust that coaching staff even a little bit. I don't trust that. I don't trust Nate McMillan even a little. But they are probably the eighth best team in the East until Miami can get things figured out. We'll see if when Porzingis comes back how healthy he is. He could get New York into that spot right now. But by default, I have got the Pacers at eight. Charlotte obviously is the one that drops out. They've lost three straight games. They look to be struggling. I thought I had them in my top eight last week, because I thought that the addition of Nick Batum would add a lot of things for them, but they're out of sorts right now. That's why I had them falling out. All right. Well, tomorrow David should be back for Friday's episode. We'll look into Miami's upcoming schedule. We'll dive into more about why the Heat are struggling recently. But for now, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions for next week and inquire about advertising on the show by sending an email to LockedOnHeat at gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play to get podcasts automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.